We're going to dive into this this morning's presser, which not only featured head coach Mark D'Antonio, but we also heard from head coach of the MSU men's soccer team, Damon Rensing. Of course, Damon has kind of built a powerhouse when it comes to soccer here in the land of Mint, Michigan. Seeing as though the MSU soccer team, yeah, they're pretty good. Looking at last year, they made it all the way to the Elite Eight, ladies and gents. Yeah, they're pretty good. And Damon, as he addressed the podium and kind of gave us a preview as to this season, he talked about how, you know, in just about every single poll, the MSU soccer team is ranked in the, like, top 10. So, exciting stuff. There's certainly a buzz around here that that is certainly unparalleled. I think I can say that. Unparalleled when it comes to any other university in this in this great state of Michigan. So, but in just a moment, you'll get to hear from Mark D'Antonio. We'll play about 10 or so minutes from the this morning's presser as he addresses us media and also you fans out there. And kind of runs down, you know, his expectations for the season. He talks about some starting lineups here and there. You know, the cliche stuff you talk about before a season opening game. So you'll get to hear that. We'll also have Top 5 Tuesday for you. And, and today's Top 5 Tuesday is going to be centered on the MSU football team. We're going to be talking about them each and every day, day in and day out, up until, of course, game time on Friday night. But we're going to list the top five things we are looking forward to the most this MSU football season, so you don't want to miss that. And again, folks, we want to definitely get your thoughts on what are you looking forward to the most. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll also talk about Keenan Wetzel. Big news from him. Yes, MSU walk-on men's basketball player who was also on Current Sports not too long ago. You get to hear some big news from him in just a sec. And we'll also talk about some Spartans in the NFL who are on now waivers. So all of that and so much more, folks. But hey, as custom here on the show, here's the man, the myth, the legend, Alex Sharg, with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy Tuesday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Tuesday, August 26th. Michigan State unveiled its new $24 million Spartan Stadium North End Zone addition Monday night, with a donor reception and presentation that included speeches from Spartan coach Mark D'Antonio, athletic director Mark Hollis, and school president Luana K. Simon. The two centerpiece rooms in the addition are the new home locker room and the recruiting lounge. Former Michigan State player Flozell Adams donated $1.5 million to the project, and the new home locker room is named after his mother, Rachel Fairman Adams. Hollis and Spartan basketball coach Tom Izzo are also listed among donors of more than $500,000. They both have rooms in the facility named after them. Former Michigan State forward Kenny Kaminsky, who was dismissed from the team earlier this month by Tom Izzo, is transferring to Ohio University, according to the Athens, Ohio Messenger. Kaminsky has 2 years of eligibility remaining and is applying for a waiver so he can play right away. The 6'8 forward from Medina, Ohio, averaged 4.9 points and 12 minutes a game last season. He led MSU in three-point percentage at 49%, connecting on 38 triples in 77 tries, but it was off-the-court issues that plagued Kaminsky while at Michigan State. And former Michigan State standout Draymond Green has been named to the USA Select team, announced today by USA Basketball. Green, who will be heading into his third season with the Golden State Warriors, is one of 13 players selected to the team that will train with the USA National Squad next week in Las Vegas. 24-year-old Green averaged 6.2 points, 5 rebounds, and 1.9 assists for the Warriors last season. Former MSU safety Isaiah Lewis was placed on waivers by the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday. Teams have 24 hours to claim Lewis off waivers, or he will be declared a free agent. Other former Spartans recently placed on waivers include Indianapolis cornerback Johnny Adams, Miami defensive tackle Makaja Reynolds, and Cleveland tailback Edwin Baker. Wow, name from the past. Former Michigan State receiver B.J. Cunningham was released by the Philadelphia Eagles on Saturday. NFL teams have until Tuesday afternoon to trim their rosters to 75 players before the final August 30th cut, which will take the rosters down to 53. Senior basketball player Keenan Wetzel, who has been a walk-on for the past 3 seasons, has been awarded a scholarship for this upcoming season. Wetzel announced the news Monday afternoon on his Instagram page. He appeared in 33 games in 3 seasons with the Spartans. He played his high school basketball at Monroe St. Mary, where he earned team MVP honors. Michigan State coach Tom Izzo often awards available scholarships to senior walk-ons. Former walk-on Dan Chapman was on scholarship last season as a senior. The Lansing Lugnuts' Mitch Ney has been named as the starting third baseman on the Midwest League postseason All-Star team the league announced today. Ney, at 20 years old, played in a team-high 120 games in his first season in the MWL, batting .285 while leading the Lugnuts with 135 hits, 57 runs scored, 34 doubles, and 59 ribbies. He also represented the Lugs in the mid-season All-Star game on June 17th in West Michigan, playing the entire game at third for the Eastern Division. On August 20th, Ney was promoted to A Advanced Dondon. The Detroit Lions announced more roster cuts on Monday as they prepare to get their roster to 75 before the final roster deadline. The Lions released fullback Chad Abram, partner Drew Butler, cornerbacks Jonte Green and Aaron Hester, quarterback James Franklin, and kicker Giorgio Tavecchio. By Saturday, NFL rosters must be cut down to 53. And finally, in possible sign of desperation, the Detroit Tigers have claimed Houston Astros closer Chad Qualls on revocable waivers, according to Peter Gammon. Qualls and the Tigers don't work out a deal, the right-hander would be ineligible to be traded for the rest of the season. Qualls is under contract for $3 million for 2015 and has a $3.5 million club option for 2016. Qualls is 1-3 with 14 saves for the Astros this season. He has a 3.07 ERA, 1.16 whip, and 38 strikeouts in 44 innings. The Tigers once traded for an Astros closer before. That was Jose Valverde. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, August 26th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show with all of the news from the Mark D'Antonio Presser. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. Appreciate that. Welcome back, folks. We have a great show in store for you all. Before we dive into it, though, I have to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes for the last time tomorrow morning before we move, of course, in September. Man, this is the last week in August. Can you believe that? September 3rd, next week, Wednesday, we resume, we go back to our regularly scheduled programming. Taping at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening. So, tomorrow will be our last Wednesday morning taping as I sit down with the newly appointed athletic director for Lansing's J.W. Sexton High School. Yes, Dan Bogan. He's a great, great guy. Again, the football season kicks off this Thursday. Bogan will join me to discuss the team's expectations. We'll talk a little bit about recruiting, his days of playing, and so much more. Again, you all are invited to be a part of the live studio audience, just like each and every Current Sports TV taping. You guys can be a part of the audience by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. Come on out. It's going to be a great time. All of you Big Reds fans out there who have graduated from Sexton High School or know people who attend, may have a niece or nephew or a son or daughter who attends JW Sexton High School, come on out and show your support for the athletic director and football coach, Dan Bogan. He's a great guy. Looking forward to that. Well, all right. Well, let's get right to the show, folks. Again, as I talked about before, our headliners, Mark D'Antonio held his very first presser of this new season. It got real, folks. I remember we walked in. Alex and I walked in this morning. The presser was held at 11:30 a.m., just like we anticipate each and every presser to be held on from here throughout the entire season from here on out. And I tell you what, walking through, it was my first time walking through the new North End Zone project. Didn't get to see all of it. I have not walked into the locker room and seen that firsthand. But we just went to the press room, which ironically is named after Tom Izzo and Loopy Izzo. And Tom Izzo, of course, I say ironically because Tom Izzo, he's been Tom Izzo, I mean, he's been so good with the media. He's one of my favorite people to interview. He's definitely a household name in Michigan and in the state of Michigan and nationally. And it's just funny because Tom always jokes around with the media. It's fitting that it's named after him. So, we entered the Tom and Loopy Izzo media room, and man, oh man, it is nice. It is certainly an upgrade. You got pictures of the championship rings to the right of the press podium. To the left, you got a picture of a Spartan helmet. And there's actually it's two tiers to it. There's on the other side of it, there's another press room set up with chairs and another podium. Oh man, it's really really nice, really sexy, as I like to say. I tell you what, it's certainly a game changer. So we'll talk about, because yes, last night was the grand opening of the North End Zone project. You'll get to see it extensively in tomorrow morning's Current Sports TV taping. Again, if you can't come to the taping, again, you can catch Current Sports TV each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. But I'll be showing the North End Zone project, and you'll get to hear from some of the players and you know, and coaches on what they think of the project. And it's truly remarkable. Long overdue, I tell you that. And D'Antonio, you know, he had a fun time kind of joking about it today, talking about how the old, I don't know if you guys know, but the old locker room built back in the 1960s. It was built for a team roster of only 60 guys. A really, really old locker room. But D'Antonio was asked today about it. You know, looking at this new project, what goes through his head? You know, playing with the, you know, Fred Heumann of WLNS TV6. He asked, you know, playing with the big dogs now with this new project now being enacted. And he said, hey, we've always been one of the big dogs, just with a bad locker room. So I thought that was pretty funny during the presser. So again, you know, he hit on so much. We'll play the first 10 minutes of today's presser. Here he is, head coach Mark D'Antonio, unofficially kicking off the season with his Tuesday morning presser, addressing us media.
It's a little different up here. Anyway, welcome to the North End Zone. So with that, you know, I think the way we start this thing is, first of all, you know, when you come to camp, I think there's obviously a lot of excitement, a lot of, you know, optimism, and people are very, very, very excited with their goals and their dreams right in front of them, and their challenges also are right there. You know, as camp goes through, you know, you start to work every day. You're sort of isolated, very much isolated. You have to deal with that. You have to deal with new concepts, new terminology for a lot of young people, getting to know people. Certainly, it becomes a grind as you go through this. And, you know, you have, you know, anywhere between 22 and 27, 28 practices before you hit your first game. So, you know, it sort of gets stuck in the middle a little bit, I guess, sometimes. Then school starts, and here we are. So we're one day away from school, a couple days away from a football game, and you get to find out what kind of statements you're able to make. I think opening game is always about an attention to detail. It's going to be about who doesn't beat themselves initially, especially on special teams, you know, penalties, things of that nature, especially unforced penalties. Obviously, you have to play your opponent, and you have to be able to you know, put things in front of each other and move forward in every phase of the game. But that's where we're at. That's exactly where we're at right now. We're ready to play a football game. I think every football team in America is right now, but you get to find out a little bit more who we are and who those guys are and who those guys maybe haven't played as much last year and taking the starting position now, or guys who've been starting before and maybe they're playing a little bit different position. So you get to start putting the pieces together. So I'll take some questions. We'll talk a little bit about Jacksonville State as we go, but I'll take questions.
Mark, we've talked during camp about Mylon Hicks being maybe that Jarius Jones role. Does he have a chance to be more than that? Could he be the starter at the Star Friday night?
You know, there's a lot of different offenses that we're going to play, and certainly Jacksonville State is an offense that is a lot of wide receiver sets and things of that nature. It really depends on what they come out with initially. You know, what type of personnel grouping are they coming out in? But I guess I said it the other day, he's a, you know, we have ones and, you know, one and a halves. So he's stuck in between those two. So I don't know what that would be, but he certainly earned the opportunity to be on the field. He's a guy that plays with a lot of toughness. He's extremely quick. He's powerful. He's going to play reckless. He's not going to be intimidated by any situation, and I look forward to watching him play on Friday night. Jacksonville State, you know, last year, 11-4 football team. Their coach, Clark, had left, taken another job, so Coach Grass becomes the head football coach. He's a guy that was their offensive coordinator last year. You know, when you look at their offense, they've got almost 3,000 yards, or over 3,000 yards of passing, over 3,000 yards of rushing, 6,000-plus yards in 15 games. So they're a balanced football team. You know, Jenkins, number 7, is a dual threat kind of quarterback. He's run for almost 1,000 yards and passed for a bunch as well. You know, their other quarterback is a guy that really can throw it. Max Shortell, and you know, he's much more of a maybe a pro-style attack guy. They use both those quarterbacks. DeMarcus James, an outstanding tailback, big, thick guy that's run for about 1,500 yards. The other two tailbacks they're going to use as well, so they're going to be compliments to him. Offensive line returns about three starters, and Barge is probably their number one wide receiver, but Gonzalez is a transfer. They've got quite a few transfers on defense. They've got six returners on defense. But with that, they have six or seven transfers that are coming in from various places, such as Alabama, Tennessee, South Florida, Southern Miss, those type of places. So first-time coordinator at Jacksonville State, coordinator, defensive coordinators coming from Fordham. So it's a little bit, got to feel our way through a little bit as far as our offense versus their defense in terms of exactly who they're going to be. But that'll clarify itself as we move through the game, so we'll be prepared for a lot of different things. I think they have an outstanding punter who's from Australia. They've got a guy at a knack for blocking punts, number 48. It's a guy that has shown that he can block some punts. Their special teams coordinator comes from Citadel, where they've had a history of blocking kicks. So we're going to have to work extremely hard there. It's a football team that beat Ole Miss a couple years ago. They'll play extremely competitively. As I tell our players, they're one play away, one day away from being in similar situations and moving their trade to another school. So having been at Youngstown State back in the 90s, I can tell you that when you bring a college football player in who's played at this level and transfer to the next level down, they can have a direct impact on your football team. So we expect a great football game, and they'll be extremely competitive as they come, expecting to win.
Mark, I know McGarrett was reinstated for fall practice, but I just wanted to clarify, confirm he's fully available on Friday.
Yes.
Just checking the depth chart real quick. I noticed R.J. Shelton listed at a corner, number three. Has he been working both sides? And I also see Monty Medeiros says, has that been a switch that's been made as well?
Yeah, R.J. Shelton has worked both sides. We'll see where how he transitions to that position as we move forward. There may have to be more. You know, we'll just have to see as it goes. But it felt like we needed more depth at the corner position. He's an outstanding football player. Could have been playing corner all along. He has those type of skills, and he is extremely confident and I guess I would say energized at game time. And my thought process is that, you know, the guy's got to play more than 20 plays a game for us because he's too good of a football player. So he becomes a dual guy, and we'll see where that takes us as we move down the road. But at this point in time, I think he's probably the fourth, fifth corner of that nature. So we'll see how he transitions. But that aspect of coaching him has started here since we broke camp. So it hasn't been a long time, but I think he's very, very capable. Monty Medeiros has also been given that opportunity, but I think he's a little farther behind in that regard.
Mark, in the back.
Yeah.
Not a Jacksonville State question necessarily, but a change of focus. With the playoff system now and so much going into effect, you have a tendency to take knees and not try to run scores up. Because there is a playoff system that is subjective, will that change maybe you going for points in the past, or maybe you wouldn't?
I don't really see that changing. Our goal is to win a football game, and our goal is not to pile it on or disrespect. We're going to play the game, you know, and we're going to, you know, if we happen to be ahead, you know, our twos are in, we're going to let them play. But at the end of the game, we're also, you know, we're going to handle it the right way. I would hope that others would do the same, but, you know, I guess we could have always gone for two last year.
Mark, this is the fifth time in MSU's history that you faced an FCS opponent. All in your era, though, what is it that you like about FCS teams, and or is it just the scheduling, how it works out, or what's your take on that?
I think it's basically the scheduling, how it works out. I respect those teams, and you know, I have a history there. You know, I coached at Akron. University of Akron was a 1AA team at the time. Went to the playoffs. Went to Youngstown State, as I said, for 5 years. And really left there and went to Kansas and when I got to Kansas, I said, hey, we have a lot of players that can play here at Kansas. So I think they're very, very good football players. You can take guys like Daquez Denard, who was not a highly recruited guy, could have very easily been playing at Jacksonville State, and he was an outstanding player for us. And we have others just like it. He had some other highly recruited guys that filtered their way down into that system. So it goes both ways. But I have a great deal of respect for the coaching. That's a very well-coached team that we're playing. Again, defensively, you don't really know because it's the first game out the gate, but you can see from an offensive standpoint, they're very well tied together. Their structure and concepts are excellent, and they're challenging. They're going to spread you out.
Mark, along those lines, when looking at Jacksonville State, when they want to push tempo and get things moving a little bit, how does that set you guys up as a defense moving forward in terms of facing teams like Oregon and Indiana that like to do similar concepts? And also, in the offseason, that was something that was brought up a lot, that trying to eliminate that tempo style. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, we've played a lot of teams in these past years that are up-tempo teams. We've gone to that a little bit at times as well. I think there's things that are borrowed or taken from every team that's having success, and people try to emulate that. So I think every football team has that in their package right now. So you have an opportunity to practice those things. As far as my belief system there is, we had one of the top defenses in America last year with the rules as they are. I do think people tend to get hurt when they're tired, but you got to sub them out and get them out in some way, figure out a way to do that. But as far as the rules, I've just tried to weigh in on the ones that I can change. I don't think I have any influence on that, so why weigh in on it?
Mark, what are you hoping to learn about this defense? What do you want to see from them early in the season?
Well, I think we've got certain guys playing some new positions, so you want to see you basically want to see guys bend their knees and play in space and tackle, play the ball in the deep part of the field. There are certain things that you can do schematically, and then it comes down to guys making plays. But you need to keep your feet up underneath you and stay balanced as a football player. You need to get off blocks. You need to be an attacking defense. Obviously, we always want to affect the quarterback. We always want to come up with turnovers and stop the run and do all those things the standpoint of the things that win football games. You want to do those things, but I think it starts with an attention to detail on your initial reads. I think it starts with, can you bend your knees throughout, especially on a fast-paced offense? Are you able to play 10, 12 plays? And we've worked extremely hard on doing that, but there's a conditioning factor with that, not just the physical conditioning, but a mental conditioning as well. And that's all a part of this. And that's why when I sit there and say in my opening statement, we're going to see where we're at. Because at this point in time, people are going to start making statements on everybody's football team in this country, including ours. You guys will be the closest to our football team, and you'll have a definite perception in terms of where we're at, as well as our coaches. We'll have a perception, okay, we need to get better at this. We did this well. We need to get better at this.
Well, that perception certainly gets formed starting this Friday night against Jacksonville State at Spartan Stadium. Exciting stuff, folks. We'll hit the break. When we come back, you'll get Alex and I's thoughts on just, that presser and D'Antonio's comments, including what you didn't get to hear. And we'll also talk about MSU's North End Zone project. It is certainly a sight to see. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, if you're just now joining us, you missed Mark D'Antonio addressing the media this morning during his first Tuesday morning press conference. Exciting stuff, exciting stuff. When I walked in this morning and saw D'Antonio take the podium, and it really started to hit me then that, man, this week football starts. Can you feel it, folks? Exciting stuff. But D'Antonio, he addressed a few things here, Alex, that were pretty interesting. And, you know, I thought some great questions were fired at him. I felt as though, you know, it's kind of redundant because, we've been going to training camp for about like a month and a few weeks now, and I feel like I've asked every single question I possibly can to preview this upcoming year. So just kind of, a little bit redundant, with a few things. But when it comes to the depth chart, I mean, if you look at it, interesting stuff that McGarrett Kings is going to be start. Well, he'll be playing this Friday, of course, in lieu of his off-the-field issues. He made it back to training camp, and all things seem well right now for him. So other than that, pretty cliche stuff for me. I really liked how he, and you guys didn't get to hear this, he kind of addressed the running back, I wouldn't say it's an issue, but the running back discussion between who was going to get most of the reps and who's going to be the guy. Of course, Jeremy Langford is going to be the guy this season. He's going to be getting a lot of touches. He's going to be, Jeremy Langford was great last year, especially on the tail end of last year, just really coming on and showing that, man, he's a pretty good running back. Nick Hill is the next guy who'll probably, will step into that role of getting the second most carries. Nick Hill, of course, he's a speedy guy. He's got some moves, and, looking at his preseason reports, it seems as though he's gotten a little better. And, of course, Delton Williams, of course, a big back, power back, I guess, if you will. He'll be also getting a few reps. So it's going to be kind of a three-headed monster there. And, it's exciting stuff, though. And, D'Antonio talked about this being a statement game, this being a game that really, you want to start off the season. Now, D'Antonio, throughout his career record, is 8-2, I believe, when it comes to season opening games. 8-2, pretty solid, pretty, pretty solid. Always, when you come out the gates, especially now, MSU, of course, being ranked 16th in the nation, you're the defending, sixth in the nation, not 16th. When you have a lot of pressure on you now that you are the Rose Bowl champs, how you approach this season to come out the gate sets the tone for the rest of the year. If they come out, Alex, and just put, which I think is going to happen, I think they're going to lay down the hammer. If I had to give a score prediction here, again, the predictions, I tell you, they hit or miss sometimes. They can make you look like geniuses or a complete idiot. But I would say MSU wins, I want to say 37-10 this Friday.
Okay. First of all, Jacksonville State has a head coach that hasn't been the head coach of one single game.
Yeah, first year. John
first
Gray.
Year. I mean, serving on the staff, like you said, but like D'Antonio said as well, hasn't coached as an official head coach yet in college football. I think they have a lot of kinks to work out in the armor. Like you said, score predictions, I agree that they're going to come out with the hammer. I like about 56-10. I think they're going to lay down.
Oh, my gosh. You think they're going to put up 56 points?
I think offensively, they're going to put out a lot of points.
That is a lot, Alex.
Look, I mean, you have a returning offense.
56?
You have a returning quarterback. You have a returning running back. You have returning receivers. You really lost no offensive holes. Most of the holes they lost were on defense. So, if anything, the offense should be the strong point of this game.
Yeah, well, we both agree, at least. We both agree that, looking at both of our notions here, that MSU is going to blow them out. And it's going to be, it's at least a, 2-3 touchdown advantage, I guess, when looking at the final score. But if you talk about John Grasso, even though this is his first time, his first time being named as head coach, he served as the Gamecocks' assistant head coach and offensive coordinator in 2013. And his office was, looking here at the report, was record-breaking, as this report says, in every phase. As they said, a total of 49 school records. How about that? So impressive stuff. I mean, John Gass certainly has an impressive resume. But again, this is Big Ten football. You're playing the defending Rose Bowl champs. You got to take all that with a grain of salt when you're playing the Spartans. So I think it will be a blowout. It's just exciting. And D'Antonio talked about it, how they come out the gates and how they approach this game. And a game like this, I always say, when playing a team like this, who isn't on the same tier as the Spartans, talent wise and accomplishment wise in college football, you have to look at the little things in this game for the Spartans to sort of give you any sort of insight as to how they will play against a big-time opponent, against an Indiana or an Ohio State or something like that. You have to look at the little things because it's those little things that matter the most in those type of games. So, for me, I'm going to be honing in on how they execute offensively. I mean, looking at the offensive precision I guess you can say, from guys like Connor Cook, the running game, receivers not dropping balls, that sort of thing. Defensively, I definitely want to look at how many stops they get, especially, you know, coming off a season where they were ranked the top defense in the nation. In a game like this, it's all about the little things. And, you know, D'Antonio alluded to that. You know, and you don't want to – and this is another thing I'm glad that this question was asked as well. I think Hondo asked this question. He talked about whether, you know, with this being the first year that a college football playoff is now enacted in the game, if you are faced with the opportunity to run up the score, would you do so? Because in many respects, in many regards, many out there are saying that, okay, if you got that opportunity, you better take it, because as far as making that playoff in the national perception of you blowing out a team and stepping on that team's throat, it may or may not make a difference in you making that playoff. I don't know. I have to do some research on that. But D'Antonio, he stuck to his guns and said no. You know, I'm not all about that. You know, at the end of the day, we're all about just winning the game. So that's why I think that, you know, you said, what, 56-10, Alex? That was your final score?
Yeah.
That's why I don't even think they'll hit the 50s here. I think once they, you know, get a comfortable lead here, you'll see D'Antonio. You may see, and, you know, he was also asked this in the presser, whether or not we'll see, you know, more than one quarterback throughout this game other than Connor Cook. Maybe, you know, Damian Terry or Tyler O'Connor, one of those guys. It all depends on how the game goes. And I think if that situation, you know, if let's say the Spartans are up 2 to 3 touchdowns here, you know, why not throw in Tyler O'Connor or something like that?
But that's the thing, is they're still looking to prove themselves as well, the Tyler O'Connors. And,
right, they're going
to
play hard when they're in there. Right, they're going to play hard.
If they're just running plays up the middle, there's still a possibility that Nick Hill might break a 70-yard touchdown late in the game. So,
and that's the thing when you talk about run up a score, because even though you don't want to run up a score, sometimes it just happens because the talent level is such at a differential there, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I think is going to happen on Saturday, is that as much as D'Antonio is just there to win, they might be calling a couple sweep plays to the right and maybe some dives up the middle, and those could be breaking for 70, 60 yards for touchdowns. So you really just don't know. Like D'Antonio said today, there are a lot of guys, true freshmen, a lot of different position battles that aren't necessarily for starters, but between second and third team members. And I think a lot of those guys have a lot to prove, talking to some of the guys on the team at Media Day and just around campus. I mean, they're all looking to prove themselves here and get some playing time. A lot of different reps. D'Antonio talks about reps all the time. So I think that's a big deal. And as we'll get to our top five later, I'm very excited to see a lot of guys who are trying to get those reps.
Yeah, that is very, very true. You know, something that was also interesting, kind of wrapping up our takeaways from the Mark D'Antonio presser here, I thought it was really interesting, because, of course, this week is not only the start, and it was fitting because this week is not only the start of college football, but it's also the start of high school football in the area of Mitt, Michigan. Exciting stuff. I love college football from around the area. I'm actually going to be doing my first play-by-play football game, high school football game, this Thursday with Eric Doc Love of Big Country 92.1. It's exciting stuff. But, you know, what also was really interesting in the presser is D'Antonio talked about first-year head coach John Grass for Jacksonville State. And he talked about how, of course, John, and many people don't know this, though, John Grass, he began his head coaching career at his alma mater of Asheville High School, and was also an assistant at Eufaula and Hoover High School, and is also a 1990 graduate of Jacksonville State University. But he began his coaching career in the ranks of high school. He started coaching high school football, and that's where his career began. D'Antonio, I believe he talked about, D'Antonio sort of went, you know, had a blast from the past with Mark D'Antonio. He talked about how he was a high school coach for a year. He mainly coached defense, and then he worked his way up into the ranks until he became a head coach. All on the defensive end, though. He didn't touch the offensive end. You know, he did not have any experience with it until, you know, he got hired in the higher ranks of college football. But he kind of alluded to the fact that, and D'Antonio, looking at his tenure when he was a high school football coach, he wasn't the head high school football coach. He was like the defensive line coach or something like that. With John, again, he was the head coach of Asheville High School. That's where he began his head coaching career. And D'Antonio talked about what makes John a special coach. And he sort of talked about how high school coaches are really unique in how they transition into the game as a college football coach, because you have experiences. You have that hands-on experience with not just one facet, not just one, you know, not just the defensive linemen or the defensive ends or the safeties or the running backs. You have to know each and every position battle that's going on in your camp. You have to know the offense. And, you know, when you come, ideally you become a very well-rounded coach in just about every single area of the game, which can't be said for somebody who's just coaching one position. It has to be a harder transition for somebody who just does that. And he talked about how that's what makes John special. I mean, he comes in now as a college coach, and he's had that experience as a high school coach, and high school coaches know everything. They know the defense and how to run an offense. They know all of that. So I thought that was really interesting for him to also mention, Alex.
Yeah, and aside from those position battles, I mean, he was asked the question about R.J. Shelton getting reps with the corners.
Yeah.
Not even position battles with second or third guys playing, but a guy like R.J. Shelton, who's their primary receiver, who's just playing a little bit with the cornerbacks. He's not going to get any primary reps at corner, but he's just there as a backup. Maybe if someone goes down, or maybe he's going to be, is, you know, kind of disguised in some coverages. Who knows? But, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, they got to know all kinds of different depth chart positions.
Yeah, and I think, guys, I think Lippitt is going to have a big year. I just feel
on the receiving
I think Tony Lippitt on the receiving side, you know, he's going to have a breakout year. Also, look for Aaron Burbridge to have a breakout year.
Yeah, Aaron
as well.
Burbridge is my receiver that I think will be a breakout player.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, folks, again, if you want to give your thoughts on the MSU football team, we love to hear them right here on the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Our top five Tuesday. Centers on the MSU football season, and we'll give you our top five things that we are looking forward to the most on the brink of this MSU football year. And we want to get your thoughts on that as well. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. If you're not by a phone and still want to weigh in, tweet me. That's right. Go on Twitter, log into Twitter, and tweet me. My Twitter handle is at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Before we hit our next break, Alex, I definitely want to talk about the North End Zone Project. Of course, it held its grand opening for the North End Zone Project last night. Tom Izzo was there, Mark, Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis was there. Just so many people were there yesterday, and it, you know, it really is certainly remarkable. I took a few pictures on my iPhone 4. Not even a 4. This thing is so slow, Alex. I need a new phone, man. But yeah, I took a few pictures on my phone here, and it's really, really beautiful. I mean, just speaking on the and I haven't even seen all of it. I've just seen I've been on the outside of it. We walked into the press room today. It's really, really nice, ladies and gents. And you know, I think this is really, you know, and Mark Hollis talked about this when we first heard about the project here on Current Sports. And he talked about this North End Zone project being a game changer. This project competing with any college football venue out there. And it is truly remarkable. And, you know, I think it's certainly long overdue. As I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, D'Antonio sort of joked. He was asked whether or not, you know, Michigan State is now stomping with the big dogs, I guess you could say. And D'Antonio kind of laughed and kind of shrugged it off and said, hey, you know, we've always been with the big dogs, just with a bad locker room. So I thought that was hilarious, Alex. But, you know, just quirky D'Antonio for you, man. We got a full dish of that this morning.
Yeah, even wood chairs were even mentioned. Don't forget that.
Don't forget about that, right? Can't forget about that. Oh, gosh. So, all right, folks. Well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we have a full plate in store to get to. We'll talk about Kenny Kaminsky. Yes, folks, he is transferred to Ohio University. And, hey, a scholarship offer to Keenan Wetzel. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Have to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV, yes, we tape tomorrow morning. It is our last time taping in the mornings. We, of course, switched that time for the summer. And my guest will be head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. Head coach Dan Bogan will be joining me. Dan also is the newly appointed athletic director. So he's AD and also head football coach. It's really interesting because there are a lot of schools around the area, a lot of high schools don't even allow that. But he's doing double duty now. He was the component, if you ask me, in, of course, hiring Carlton Valentine, head coach of the Sexton boys basketball team. Carlton now returning. So, yeah, I'll be sitting down with Dan, and I'm really going to pick his brain about how that chat happened between he and Carlton and how that hire came about, how that rehire came about, I should say. So you don't want to miss that. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. All right, folks, so let's keep this train moving. Definitely have to talk about, of course, how about Kenny Kaminsky? Kenny Kaminsky, of course, now former MSU men's basketball player who had multiple disciplinary problems, to say the least, bumped heads with head coach Tom Izzo on numerous occasions. And this summer, hey, Tom just said, hey, I've had enough. As we talked about and reported it here on the show, Tom dismissed Kenny from the team, and Kenny was left, you know, trying to find a school to scramble to. And, again, it was breaking news. It happened actually yesterday. This is right after we got off the current sports radio show yesterday. It was announced that former Michigan State forward Kenny Kaminsky, again, who was dismissed from the team by Tom Izzo earlier this month, is transferring to Ohio University. How about that? Now, when you look at this transfer, normally when you transfer, depending on the rules and the situation, you have to sit out a year before you're eligible to play for that team. We saw it happen with Bryn Forbes, who he transferred in, and it was speculated that, you know, Bryn would have to sit out a year. But, of course, Bryn transferring, and due to extenuating circumstances, he has a little girl who's in the area who he wants to be close to, as well as he's dealing with some family illness issues. So Bryn got the waiver, and he will be cleared to play this upcoming year. So Kenny Kaminsky, I mean, looking at it, you know, he has 2 years of eligibility remaining, and he's also going to apply for a waiver so he can play right away. So if that waiver doesn't go through, Kenny will have to sit out a year. But again, if you look at, you know, let's look at his stats. The 6'8", he's a 6'8" forward from Medina, Ohio. He averaged 4.9 points, 12.2 minutes a game last season for the Spartans. And again, he led MSU in three-point percentage, 49%, connecting on 38 triples in 77 tries. Again, it was just those off-the-court issues for Kenny Kaminsky that just plagued him. So, you know, now so you go from playing at one of the top-tier programs when it comes to college basketball in the nation. Michigan State University has a storied history. Tom Izzo, one of the most recognizable faces in the game. You go to playing at a program like this that is so rich to now playing, you know, not to knock Ohio University, you know, not to knock it. I'm just saying, when it comes to college basketball, Ohio University and Michigan State University, there's a bit of a difference there. That's what I'm saying. I just want to reiterate that. So it just shows you how things can change in the blink of an eye. You know, and you know, I was looking at an interview yesterday with Draymond Green, who was holding, of course, Draymond Green, a standout forward for the MSU men's basketball team, who now plays for the Golden State Warriors. Also want to shout out to Day-Day, because Day-Day, of course, has made the NBA select team. Draymond Green, again, he was named to the NBA USA select team, and he will be practicing with the guys who are, of course, trying to take home a gold medal in the FIBA World Championship game. So shout out to Dede. But he's in the area right now holding a basketball camp, and he was asked about what he thought of the whole Kenny Kaminsky situation. And he talked about, you know, how Izzo, he holds you accountable. Izzo holds you accountable. If you are not holding up your end, if you're not going to class, if you're not handling your business academically, hey, there's going to be punishments here. And, you know, some guys rise to the occasion, and some guys take the other route. Kenny Kaminsky was that guy who took the other route. So, again, folks, in the blink of an eye, things can change very quickly. I wish him the best. I'm a firm believer in second chances. I hope this is certainly a wake-up call for him. I think he's an outstanding player. Looking at Kenny Kaminsky's production last year, I said it. I mean, he led the team in three-point percentage. He shot 49% from the three-point line, folks. It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. I remember a few games, I mean, Kenny couldn't miss. I mean, you know, the basket seemed like an ocean. So he will be a solid player at Ohio U. But man, oh man, when you think back at the possibilities and the contributions that he could have given to this MSU men's basketball team, man, they fall certainly short. So wish him the best, though. Definitely deserves a second chance. I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to get that. And also got to shout out my main man, Keenan Wetzel. Of course, Keenan was on the current sports TV show this summer. promoting his new film that is about to come out pretty soon. I think they're starting production in September. So a week from now, if you look around the Communication Arts and Sciences building right now, there are flyers everywhere for it. It's a short film entitled The Cager, and Kenan Wetzel is directing it. It's going to star Delvon Rowe, who was also a former MSU men's basketball player, now turned actor. Delvon is now in L.A. getting his acting on, and Delvon Rowe is going to be the star of this film, and Kenan is directing it. But, you know, it's big news from Kenan Wetzel, as, you know, now, you know, he's been a walk-on for the past three seasons. He has now been awarded a scholarship for this upcoming basketball season. He announced the news on Monday afternoon on his Instagram page, where he was standing up at a podium or a table, and had his signing on the dotted line, you know, saying that, hey, he's about to sign his scholarship. So congrats to Kenan. This is just a perfect example, kind of the polar opposite of Kenny Kaminsky, where, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, sitting down with Kenan Wetzel. I mean, he's such a humble, hardworking, responsible guy. This is a walk-on we're talking about. Previous to MSU, playing for MSU, he played for Valparaiso. He transferred from Valparaiso to Michigan State, worked his way up in the ranks, worked his way to a little bit of playing time last season, and reading some reports here and there, and chatting with some personnel on the team. I ran into Mike Garland, who was an assistant coach for the MSU men's basketball team while shoe shopping the other day. And, Mike talked about, how Kenan is really coming along. So he earned his scholarship and worked his way into that role. So, definitely congrats to Kenan. It's well deserved. I think, he could be he could come in and definitely contribute for this MSU men's basketball team, who is now suffering a little bit when it comes to shooting. And Kenan Wetzel is a sharpshooter. That's what he does. So big news there. So congrats to Kenan Wetzel. Looking forward to seeing him get some playing time this upcoming year. Some playing time that he certainly earned. So great stuff there. Again, folks, we have 9 minutes left on our show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, Alex, I believe it's time for Top 5 Tuesday. That time each and every Tuesday where we list a top 5 area in the world of sports. And today's Top 5 Tuesday centers on the top 5 things we are looking forward to this MSU football year. All right, folks, yes, Top 5 Tuesday, where we dive into a top 5 area in the world of sports. And today's Top 5 Tuesday, again, centers on the MSU football team. Everybody's talking about football as football kicks off for the Green and White this Friday night against Jacksonville State University. Here's the top 5 things we are looking forward to the most this upcoming football season from the Spartans. Okay, number 5, Alex, I got to start off, by getting this off my chest. The North End Zone project is beautiful. I am looking forward to now, I remember last year, during last year's football season, where we would be in that hot tennis area of IM West, kind of sweating a little bit, fans on, extra high on 10, just a really just hot, sticky environment. Now, we have this beautiful, state-of-the-art media room that we can go to. It's fully air conditioned, it looks gorgeous, it's got ambient lighting everywhere. It is a beautiful media room. I am looking forward to working in that very room this season.
Yeah, definitely look good. Definitely to look forward to. I wanted to avoid that just because we've been talking about this so much on the air, and many of the news sources have been talking about the North End Zone project. For me, I'm actually looking forward. My number 5 is Zeke the Wonder Dog. And really? The reason I say Zeke is because, I don't know if you watched last year, Al, he was struggling a little bit.
Yeah, he had a lot of drop passes.
A lot of drop passes, and people are talking about it. They're wondering about it. He's getting a lot older. Remember, this is Zeke 2 since 2007. The original Zeke was back in the early 2000s. So people are wondering, what's going on with Zeke? I mean, that's a staple for Michigan State football. And I know it sounds goofy.
No, that was on my list, too. I'm taking it off now because you had it.
I mean, it's a big topic of discussion.
No, seriously. Yeah, Zeke had a lot of drop balls. But, hey, he's a pup. He's a dog. You know, he's not a puppy. I don't think he's a grown dog now.
So
but
how he will respond to a Rose Bowl championship, I think he'll endure it and I think he'll embrace it.
Well, maybe, you know what, playing reverse psychology here, maybe Zeke needs to drop a few more passes and, you know, drop the same amount as he did last year because obviously it worked, you know? You know, I don't know what it was, but, you know, Zeke didn't have to catch passes for the Spartan team to be successful. So maybe Zeke needs to drop a few. I don't know. All right, I like that one. That was also on my list. I'm going number four, though. Number four, I'm definitely interested to see how the leadership of Shalique Calhoun, Travis Jackson, and Curtis Drummond, those three guys, I'm interested to see how they transition as leaders now, as captains of this team, because those three are guys who have very strong personalities, especially Shalique Calhoun. And when you're coming into a year where you have a lot of expectations, you have to turn to the leaders, the captains of that team, to sort of, keep you focused. And I'm excited to see how those three mature into that role and to see how the team rallies behind them. And also to see how Connor Cook deals with not being named a captain. That's another thing to look at, too.
Yeah, that is a big one. My number four, how about all the night games in prime time? Five night games this year. The big one at Oregon. How will they respond with the hype out of state in a really tested game against a dual quarterback like Marcus Mariota? I mean, that's going to be one of the best primetime games of the year.
You think it's going to be close?
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty close.
I think it'll be close, too. I think the Spartans are going to show that they are going to prove that they definitely deserve to be
in
the
league. Even LSU and Wisconsin that first week, too. I mean, that's another night game, 9:30 at LSU.
Yeah.
There's going to be another great game, a Big Ten and SEC, too.
But yeah, that's my three. I mean, MSU and Oregon. MSU and Oregon is certainly the game with the most fan appeal on this list. I'm also interested to see how many Spartans actually, travel out there to see the Spartans in Oregon. I know looking at some travel tickets, plane tickets and round trips here and there. I mean, the prices are pretty steep. But the Green and White showed me that they can travel very, very well, looking at how many Green and White paraphernalia was in the crowd during the Rose Bowl. So, yeah, that's definitely, my number, number three? What, four? Well, three. That's my number three. That's your number four, actually. I am going to go now to number two. The national perception and how it shifts from week to week to week
for
the Spartans is another thing I'm going to be taking a close look at, because the Spartans are certainly in the spotlight now. You know, I talked yesterday about how Kirk Herbstreit, Lee Corso, and the gang are picking MSU to not just come out of the Big Ten, but to make the college football playoff. That's saying a lot about what people nationally think of this team. Will it stay consistent, and will the Spartans prove them right is something I'm really going to pay attention to as the season goes on.
Especially after all the losses that they're going out on a leg to say something like that, too. I agree.
Yeah, but when you win a Rose Bowl, when you're a Rose Bowl champion, oh, man, you're sailing high. You're on cloud nine, So that's certainly why, that those statements were made by Herbstreit and Corso. But, as week to week goes by, I'm going to see if it stays consistent.
Yeah, we skipped over my number three. Mine was just seeing the true freshman play. Craig Evans and Malik McDowell, both, as D'Antonio said today, will be playing in the middle at nose tackle. So that's pretty cool. Montez Sweat, his name's getting thrown around a lot. Other true freshmen, I'm very excited to just see all the freshmen. Like you said, I mean, Rose Bowl champions of the Big Ten, how MSU fares with the new Big Ten alignment, that's the number two thing I'm most looking forward to with Maryland and Rutgers. They're playing both teams.
Do you think Maryland and Rutgers are going to really, though, make a...
I mean, they definitely have a huge chip on their shoulder, Al.
Do you think they're going to make a big splash or just kind of
puddle? I think they'll make a little bit, they'll make a little rumbling.
You think so?
I think they're going to ruffle a little bit of feathers there.
I don't think they'll make a big splash.
You don't think they're going to upset one team?
I think they'll make. I guess I'm saying they may have a few big wins here and there, but I don't think it's like I said, they're not going to make a splash. They'll make a puddle.
I'll say this on the record.
They'll play around and we'll
work out a deal. I will guarantee you that between Maryland and Rutgers, both teams to combine, they will beat two top teams in the Big Ten.
Come on. Think so?
Yeah. The thing is, you have to define
who those top teams are, though.
Okay.
They're not beating Michigan State. Maryland or Rutgers are not beating Michigan
State.
Okay.
So I think top teams, you could put Wisconsin. You could put Ohio State.
See, some people
put Penn State in that list.
That's another thing how you define it, because a lot of people aren't putting Penn State now, what Ohio State missing Braxton Miller. A lot of people aren't putting those teams in the top now. So
Nebraska, maybe?
It all depends on how you – now, Nebraska, definitely. That's Nebraska, Michigan State, maybe Wisconsin. Those may be your top three right now. And some people are still crazy and putting Ohio State up there, you know, which I wouldn't say it's crazy right now because it's still early. They may shock some people. But I think those two are
Ohio State and Iowa, I think they'll win two of those games between those teams.
We'll see. All right, we'll see. That's pretty bold. All right, number one for me, the playoff system. Thank goodness it's here. I can't wait for it. It gives everybody hope. Yeah. It gives everybody hope.
How about AWOL? Animal without a leash, man. That's the defensive line.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. All right, well, we are out of time, folks. Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday. And, yeah, you know what I'm about to say, folks. Be easy, people.